Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Nothing like the Spirit of God. Spirit of God in the heart of man, something more than gold. And we pray for understanding. We pray for light to be shed in our hearts today. For it is written, the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We give you honor and praise, Lord, this morning. Let the Holy Spirit teach us, even by himself this morning, the things that you want us to know. Let our eyes see, let our ears hear, give us an understanding heart, and that you may receive all the glory and the people of God may be edified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome, everyone. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about manifestation of the Spirit of God today, full body ministry. We're going to be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Stay with me. Don't say I already know it. Because the word of God, you know, is like the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The more you read it and study it and open your heart, the more the Lord will reveal things unto you. Even though you've read it many times before, new revelation always comes. So we will be picking up our study today from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Yesterday, a memory verse from 1 Corinthians. Well, actually, I'm not going to say. What was our memory verse from yesterday? If you remember it, you can post it in the chat room. That's what's supposed to be a memory verse. I shouldn't be the one reminding you. We did have a memory verse from yesterday. All right, let me wait a minute and see if anybody will remember it. Post it. Praise the Lord. Come on, class. All right, someone said 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. Okay, that's only part of the memory verse. That's the reference. But what does it say? A memory verse consists of two parts. The text and the reference. And she got it right. It was 1 Corinthians 14 and 12. But what does it say? For as much then as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, that's important. And so when we are talking of spiritual gifts, manifestation of the Spirit and so forth, what must be the driving motivation behind that? Well, excel to edify, you know, the body of Christ. That's it. You know, so, and in with that in mind, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and read. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Can't do it if you are speaking by the Holy Ghost. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Ghost. I can't do that either. It takes the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are differences or diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. Now, let's unpack, you know, those couple of, you know, verses first of all. There are certain things that are mentioned here. Gifts, administrations and operations. You know, these are the things that I mentioned here. And people think that, you know, it's talking about, we're talking about how you administer the gifts, how you operate the gifts. That, you know, it didn't say that. It said there are diversities of gifts and there are differences of administrations and there are diversities of operations. So you can put it this way. There are gifts of the Spirit. There are administrations of the Spirit. And there are operations of the Spirit. Most of the time we only focus on the gifts of the Spirit. It talks about three different things here. You know, there are gifts, there are administrations, and there are operations. Now, but they are all called the manifestation of the Spirit, all of them together. Whether it's a gift, whether it's an administration, whether it's an operation, you know, it is all the manifestation of the Spirit. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is giving. Now, giving is a gift. So, here are the gifts. It's going to talk about them now. And we will talk about administrations. We'll also talk about operations. But let's talk about the gifts first. You know, here are the gifts. They're called the gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts. You know, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Well, over the last couple of days, we covered the discerning of spirits as it, you know, different from, you know, natural discernment. Discerning of spirits, not discernment of spirits. Discerning of spirits, different from discernment. We covered that already. But let's break it down. People talk about different categories. They talk about vocal gifts, they talk about, you know, power gifts, revelation gifts, and so forth. But let's take a look whether these, the way people normally break it down, actually fit, whether these things actually fit the way people break it down. You've heard this lesson about the gifts of the Spirit taught in many ways. And then, you know, power gifts, you know, you've heard about those, faith, gifts of healing, walking of miracles. You've heard about the revelative gifts, you know, the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you know, discerning of spirits. You've heard about the vocal gifts called, you know, the diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. But let's take a quick closer look. You know, I prefer a different categorization. Praise the Lord. Now, first of all, the gifts that are called revelation gifts here, which people normally call revelation, which is word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The mere fact that it says word means that that's actually vocal, and people never think of that. These word of knowledge and word of wisdom are actually vocal gifts given by a word. Now, they are classed into a different section. Mostly people say, well, they are the revelation gifts. Well, yeah, maybe they are revelation gifts. But they are, can also be vocal because it says word of wisdom. A word is vocal. A word is spoken. Now, a word can also be written. So that means that the word of God, I mean, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge can be both spoken and written. Because he says word. Now, will he reveal something? Well, absolutely. And that's why people call it revelation gifts. Well, so many of the gifts will reveal something. So even tongues and interpretation will reveal something. Prophecy will reveal something. So why people only say that these three are the only revelation gifts, I don't know. You know, prophecy can be revealing. In fact, Paul will talk about it later when he said, you know, don't speak in tongues all the time when you come to the assembly because an unbeliever might come in and wonder what you're doing. But if you, you know, if you prophesy, say the heart is, you know, secrets of his heart are revealed. You know, so prophecy can be revealing. So why prophecy is not counted as a Revelation gift, I don't know. But prophecy can be revealing. Tongues and interpretation can equal prophecy, and they can also be revealing. And you give a tongue and there's an interpretation, it might reveal a secret. It might even reveal the, you know, intentions in somebody's heart. Yeah, that's what Paul said. He said, you know, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue be quiet unless there is an interpreter. You know, for he that, speaketh in an unknown tongue, unless he interprets, it doesn't do anybody any good. But if he interprets, then it's equal to prophecy, basically. So there are many, if you want to call it revelation gifts, there are many revelation gifts, not just three. The word of wisdom will reveal something. The word of knowledge will reveal something. Discerning of spirits obviously reveals something. Tongues and interpretation reveal something. Prophecy can reveal something. I mean, all of these things can reveal something. And I'll tell you, some of these gifts actually work together, you know. And then, you know, the gifts of healing, you notice that one was actually, you know, plural. The gifts of healing is plural. Diverse kinds of tongues, that's also plural. It's not the, you know, speaking in tongues is not the gift. You know, everybody is supposed to speak in tongues. Jesus says these, you know, new believers will speak with tongues. You know, speak with tongues and then they will do all these things. He said that in Mark chapter 16. But there is a gift called diverse kinds of tongues. That's different than just the general speaking in tongues. The diverse kinds of tongues means, you know, just like diversity. The person that has that gift can speak in different kinds of tongues, not just the one tongue. Most people who have the baptism of the Holy Spirit can speak in one tongue. The one that has the gift of diverse kinds of tongues can speak in diverse kinds of tongues. You know, so that's it. And they can also discern different kinds of tongues. We'll get into that. Now, the, and then there is, you know, there's all the gifts of healing, the working of miracles, the gift of faith and so forth. So let's talk about it all and see what it all means. You know, let's pick it from the top. For one, unto one is given the, by his spirit, the word of wisdom. Now, unfortunately, as Paul is writing all these things, he doesn't really explain what they are. So that's why people over the ages have tried to figure out, okay, maybe the explanation is in the administrations. Maybe the explanation is in the operations. Because Paul didn't explain it here. He just said it. Word of wisdom. What is it? He didn't tell. He didn't tell us. The word of knowledge. He just said it. But what is it? He didn't tell us. You know, and then, you know, some of these other things. Some of them might be almost obvious. Some of them might be a little couched. And you have to, you know, we have to try to decipher what is he saying. You know, for instance, everybody is almost familiar with speaking in tongues. So when you talk of diverse kinds of tongues, that's not very difficult to understand. Except that people forget that it is diverse kinds of tongues, not just speaking with tongues. Now, also discerning of spirits, we covered that already. Interpretation of tongues, that should not be very difficult. You know, it's very clear. When an unknown tongue is given, or someone speaks in an unknown tongue, somebody needs to give the interpretation. Either the person that gave the unknown tongue themselves, or somebody else gives the interpretation. If they give an interpretation, then we understand it. If they don't, then it's Greek. You know, nobody understands it. And Paul in that case said, well, you should just be quiet. Speak to yourself and to God. You know, but when they give an interpretation, I explained this briefly the other day, it's an interpretation. It's not translation. You know, it's not necessarily word for word translation or grammatic translation. You know, that's not what it is. It's interpretation. You interpret the thing. You know, what is the meaning of the thing? You know, not necessarily, you know, what does it say letter by letter? So the gift of interpretation. And how, and let's also talk about administrations and operations, the traditional way that people think of these things. I'll bring that first before I bring, you know, the way that the Lord revealed it to me. The traditional way that the people think of administration and operations is that, look, there are different ways that you can operate the gift. You know, well, maybe But it's actually the Holy Spirit, you know, that operates the gift. You know, we are just a vessel. Now, what is important though, is that each person must rely upon the Holy Spirit for the gift to work. And all these gifts work by faith. You know, everything we do is by faith. You know, it's everything is by faith. Now, in Romans chapter 12, I'm going to come to the body ministry in a bit. But in Romans chapter 12, you know, Paul's also talking, you know, in a different way, in a different manner, about some of the giftings and some of the administrations, you know, that are in the body of Christ. And in that particular place, he said, look, for I say through the grace that's given unto me to every man that is among you, that's Romans chapter 12, verse 3, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. So there's always a measure of faith. Now, for as we have many members in the body, and so forth, then he begins to go into all these things. You know, as we have many members in one body and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ. And every one member is one of another, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given unto us. And he's going to talk about some of these gifts here. And look at the way that Paul brings it in this particular place. Whether prophecy, he said having gifts, you know, that are different according to the grace that's given to us. Now, he talks about prophecy. If you have the gift of prophecy, say, well, then let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So we see that even you need faith to prophesy. You know, and then he talks about ministry. He's talking about gifts. Why is he talking about ministry here? So that means also that, you know, there are ministry gifts. Now, he said, well, if you ministry, well, let's talk about, you know, wait on your ministry. What about teaching? Well, that means there's also teaching gifts. If you are teaching, wait on your teaching. What about exhortation? Well, that's also a gift, which he didn't talk about in the other place in 1 Corinthians 12. But I'll tell you that he actually did talk about it, just didn't call it this. I'll come to that in a minute. Exhortation. He said, he that exhorted, let him wait on his exhortation. Well, now he talks about giving. I mean, so the ability to give, the propensity to give, that's also a gift from God. Well, absolutely. You know, he talks about that. He said, well, if you are a giver, do it with simplicity. Now he talks about ruling, the ability to rule. Now that's administrations. You know, now is that also a gift? Well, absolutely. You know, so if you rule, rule with diligence. And if you show mercy, you know, do it with cheerfulness. And talks about love and all these things. So let's going back to 1 Corinthians 12, looking at the way he put it, you know, and looking at Romans chapter 12, and then let's fast forward to Ephesians chapter 4 and bring all these things together. Because, you know, we have to read all the scriptures and bring them all together. In Ephesians chapter 4, we talked about, you know, another set of gifts here, you know, and I'll come back to something else in Romans 12 in a minute, you know, but in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, well, when he left, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. That's Ephesians 4 and verse 8, talking about giving gifts again. Now, he that ascended, what is it but that he first descended into lower parts of the earth? The same that descended, the same that ascended up in heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave. Now, he's talking about gifts. So he gave some apostles. And so people talk about this as what they call ministry gifts, or, you know, some people call them fivefolders and so forth. I particularly don't like that one. But anyway, people call them these things. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And these are all called gifts. They say he gave gifts unto men. gave some apostles. So being an apostle is a gift. Being a prophet is a gift. Being an evangelist is a gift. Being a pastor, being a teacher. I mean, those people are in these roles. Let's just call them roles for now. You know, what are the other gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 that will walk with them in that their function? We'll come to that and try to put it all together. And then he said, look, in all of these things work for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith, not exactly to the unity of the faith, but come in all of us united, you know. And all of us must get the knowledge of the Son of God. We come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ. So that's the goal. All of us, you know, we got to be in unity to do it. We can't be divided. So that's the unity I'm going to talk about today, which is the full body ministry. You got to be in unity for these things to function properly. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 12 for a bit, and then I'll come back to Corinthians. Romans chapter 12, you know, let's go there for a bit and see, you know, all of the things that, you know, he pointed out to us. So whether you are prophesying, whether you are in so-called ministry, whether you are teaching, whether you are giving, whether you are ruling, whether you are showing mercy, he said all these things are gifts. And then there can be, you name it, there can be many more things that he didn't even say. You know, but let's even go back now that you see that there's all these diversities of things. You know, let's take a look, for instance, if somebody were a teacher, somebody have a teaching ministry. We understand that when we say ministry. Okay. Somebody were a teacher. Well, what are the kinds of gifts that they should have? You know, they'll go along with that. Now think about this. You know, the teacher must have the ability to take the word of God and break it down. And when the ministry gift is working, you know, they can explain things that they themselves don't know. You find that the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom will be working in the teacher. Now, people think of word of knowledge as, you know, Acts chapter 5. When Peter said to Ananias and Sapphira, you know, when they sold and then, you know, tried to deceive everybody that, you know, this is not the price we got for it. And then the word was just revealed to expose that. Well, maybe. Maybe it's also discerning of spirits. You know, but because it says word of knowledge, people say, well, somehow what Peter spoke there in revealing it was a word of knowledge. Yes, but these gifts work together multiple times. Sometimes there is a word of knowledge working with the discerning of spirits, they work together. Like in Acts chapter 5, let's read it. You know, when the church was at, you know, in unity and they were doing things and people were selling and bringing and, you know, were sharing and so forth. There was a man called Ananias and his wife Sapphira, you know, and they had a certain possession. They sold it. They kept back part of the price and his wife was part of that. They came and said, well, this is the money we paid. Now, the problem was because they lied. You know, they could have said, we sold it for 100, but we're only giving 50. And that would have been fine. You know, but they said they sold it for 100 and came and said, yeah, we sold it for 50. Well, that's a lie. Holy Spirit doesn't deal with that. I mean, doesn't like, you know, lies and so on. So, you know, and then when he said that, Peter, you know, immediately said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep a part of the price of the land? Was Peter there? No. Did Peter see something? Well, absolutely. He might have seen by design of spirit, a spirit of lie that was behind him. And by word of knowledge, he spoke this thing. So you see two things working together there. You know, so now. And the next thing we know, this man just fell down when he heard that, you know, and died. But Peter said something, though, before the man fell down that. He said, look, while the thing remained, was it not yours? It was yours. After you sold it, was it not yours? It was still yours. So there's a lesson there, you know, that we should not try to deceive the Holy Spirit. Don't hold back and say this is all it is. If 10 is what you want to give out of 100, say, I have 100, but I only want to give 10. And that's fine. You know, you don't have to give 100. But don't say, you know, and again, so if you say, you know, those of you that believe in giving tithes and offerings, don't say this is my tithe when it is not. Just say this is what I want to give. You know, it's a lesson there, you know, because if you earn $100 and you want to give a tithe, I'm not teaching on tithes and offerings today, but if you want to give, and notice I say you want to give, I didn't say you need to pay, but if you want to give the tithe, then your tithe is $100. I mean, 10 out of the 100. But if you say, but if you only bring 2 and say this is my tithe, then you're lying. See? So, if you bring 2, just say this is what I want to give. Don't call it your tithe, because a tithe means 10%. And nobody is forcing you to bring any 10%. But if you want to do it, then do it correctly. But don't call it 10% if it is not. It's just that simple. You know? And also, let me just digress a little bit. If you are going to give to the Lord, don't give the Lord at the bottom. Give the Lord at the top. Because Proverbs chapter 3 tells you, he said, honor the Lord with all, with your substance and the first fruits of all thy increase. And that's first fruits, not last fruits. Last fruit is when you get a paycheck. Those of you that earn a paycheck, you get a paycheck. Uncle Sam takes his bite. I don't know what they call them, UK and other places, but in the US here, that's a taxes we pay to the IRS. Uncle Sam takes his bite. Your 401k, your 50-something K, your health savings plan, your this. You know, and so you start out with $1,000. By the time they take all of those things and give you a check for $656, then you say, I want to give a tithe, and you give a tithe on the 656. You're wrong. Because you have to give your tithe on the increase. Your increase was $1,000. So your tithe should have been $100. Now, I'm not teaching tithing here. I'm just explaining that that's what tithing means. If you are doing it, then you need to do it correctly. If you're not doing it, well, fine. But if you're doing it, you need to do it correctly. You give a tithing of the gross, not of the net. And you give it of the net, that's you actually just stolen something, you know, because you started out, you gave to Caesar first, you gave to this first, you gave to that first, and then whatever is left, the change that is left, then you give a tithe off of that. That's inaccurate. But that's by the way. But this lesson about Ananias and Sapphira triggered that in my heart. You know, they say, look, don't lie to the Holy Spirit. Just say it the way it is. Look, I can only give $15 out of my thousand. It's fine. Holy Spirit is not bothered with that. You know, but don't say that's my tithe when it isn't. All right, enough of that. Let me get back to my lesson here. So you see how that Peter, using both discerning of spirits to know there was a lying spirit behind that guy, and speaking a word of knowledge, there's no way that Peter could have known that because he wasn't there. So those two gifts working together there. And he revealed something. So we see the word of knowledge and the design of spirits revealed something there. And that's why people call these things revelation gifts. And it's accurate to call them revelation gifts, but they're not the only revelation gifts. That's what I'm saying. Many other things can reveal certain things or not. So, you can see that's working. You can see in Acts chapter 15, I'm just giving you some examples here. Acts chapter 15, the apostles, they're having concern about what should we be teaching the new believers, especially those who are not Jews. Should we be teaching? Because some of them are teaching them, you know, circumcision, which some people say, no, that's for the Jews. Gentiles don't need to do that. Some people say, yeah, you got to do that. So they're arguing about these things and so forth, you know. And even Paul, one time, he challenged Peter. He said, look, Peter, if thou being a Jew, does not live after the manner of the Jews, but you live after how the Gentiles live, why is it then that you are expecting the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So he said, look, so they're arguing about these things. So they bring these things to Jerusalem, you know, where, you know, the original apostles and so forth. And so they are debating these things, you know. And James stands up and say, you know, here's my judgment. Now, that's a word of wisdom, you know, and he gives his judgment and says, look, you know, you shouldn't do any more than this. You know, let's not put any more burden on them other than for them to stay clean of fornication, stay clean of idols, do this and this, and so on and so forth. And so he brought it out there and he said, this is my judgment. Well, that's a word of wisdom right there. Now, but he spoke it out. He could have also written it. After he spoke it, actually wrote it too. You know, he wrote it down and sent the letters. You know, so a word can be spoken and a word can be written. We know the word of God we have today is written. You know, so a word can be spoken and written. And let's see, you know, let's see also what I said about I'm just explaining how all of these gifts work. So when we talk about body ministry, you'll see where they all fit. Let's speak about what we talk about, faith also being behind the operation of any of these gifts. Now, before I do that, administrations and operations. Let's look at administrations. You know, there is a story, you know, in Acts chapter 6 of something that started to happen in the early church. And, you know, after a while, people started complaining. They said, well, you know, we have some widows here, because, you know, people were selling their things, bringing the money and so forth. And they were dividing and helping and, you know, spreading the wealth and helping the people who are poor. And then some people started complaining that, look, we have some widows here that are being neglected. They're not getting, you know, enough help here and there, you know, and then they're bothering the apostles, you know. So the apostles finally figured out that, look, we can't do this. I mean, you know, we need to focus on certain other things like word of God, preaching the word, prayer, fasting, and so forth. So they tell the people, well, why don't you look out 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the thing pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and all these other 5, you know, and they chose them and they appointed them over this business. And the apostles laid hands on them, prayed for them, and gave them charge to administer this business. That's administration. Praise the Lord. You know, so, and there are these people who are administering the business of, you know, accounting for the money and all the gifts that are brought by people donating, and how they will share it to those who are in need, the widows, etc., etc., etc. You know, so that's there. But let's talk about operations in general. Well, here's another way of looking at operations, which I have mentioned in days past, that the inspiration of any of these revelation of vocal gifts is divine, but the delivery is human. And you can see that most especially when you're giving the vocal gifts or revelation gifts. The way somebody will give a word of knowledge, if they speak it, may be different than another person speak it. I mean, they may even speak different languages, you know. So Holy Spirit is not bound to some language. Right now, I'm speaking to you in the English language, you know. Holy Spirit is not bound to the English language. You know, if I try to say the same things that I'm saying now in my other languages that I know, like my Yoruba language and some other languages I know a little bit of French, this and that, it won't be as polished, you know, because, you know, my English is more polished than even the Yoruba language, you know, that I was born in. You know, my English is much more polished. So if I'm to give a word of wisdom or teaching in English, it'll be more polished. If I give prophecy in English, it'll be more polished than if I try to give the same prophecy in the Yoruba language. I will stumble
over my words because my Yoruba language is not as good. You know, so, you know, how you operate it, yeah. Holy Spirit is behind that, but there's also some, you know, natural delivery that could be behind it. And we've talked about people who are getting the spirit of, I mean, the gift of prophecy initially, or jumping, shaking, and so forth. We talked about this two or so days ago. Later on, they learn how to be calm and so on and so forth. I mean, it doesn't mean that when they were shaking, they were being moved by the devil. Some people thought that. No, just means that they just needed to be trained. You know, so, but when they, when you give a tongue and you give interpretation, it is an interpretation. It's not a translation. So somebody may give you interpretation. In fact, you know, you may be a little bit different. You know, I gave some examples the other day of how they interpret the thing. But you carry the message. You must carry the message. The message is the meaning of the thing, not necessarily word for word translation. You know, how you translate something in one language may be different than how you translate it in the other language. There may be a word in English, for instance, if you're going to translate it into the Yoruba language or to French, maybe it'll be two words in French or three words in the Yoruba language or whatever. So the translation is not the point, but the meaning is the point. What is the meaning of the thing? Well, that's interpretation. What's the meaning of the thing that is being said? Praise the Lord. Now, so let's talk about, you know, how faith walks behind these things. Yeah, I'm just giving introduction of these gifts. I'm not going too much into depth in the gifts. We can later on, because I want to talk more about body ministry. But these gifts, how does faith walk behind these gifts? Well, prophesy according to proportion of faith. Every gift, these gifts that I talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, need faith behind them. Even the gift of faith. Listen to this. Prophecy, you have to do it by faith. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, all of these things, you have to do it by faith. Can you imagine that even the gift of faith, the mighty gift of faith, you have to do it by the regular faith, a portion of faith? How does that work? Let me explain to you this way. Think of gas stations. And some of you might have seen this. I'm sure at one point in time you've seen the oil tankers the big gas tankers, trailers that come to deposit the gas into the gas station. They're giant. Some of them are, you know, 18 wheelers, some are whatever. I mean, you know, big. And they bring, you know, hundreds and tons of, you know, hundreds of tons of, you know, gasoline, you know, to serve it up for the gas station who would later dispense them. But did you know that very big, giant 18-wheeler that carries all that gasoline, that big, giant vessel, the 18-wheeler that's carrying all that gasoline itself has a gasoline tank, which might be very small compared to what it's carrying. And if itself does not have any gasoline, it's not going anywhere, even though it's carrying all that gasoline tank. That's how you can imagine how the big gift of faith, call it the gasoline tanker, as a big gift of faith, needs the little tank of gas for it to even move by itself. That's a little faith. So everything that we do has to be by faith. Even to operate the big gift of faith has to be by the little faith. You know, so God has dealt all of us a measure of faith. So everything you do has to be by faith. And what does that mean? Well, that means you are relying on the Holy Spirit. Once you discover that these giftings are in your life, then you're going to rely on the Holy Spirit for it to operate. You know, so not everybody, let me say this as well, I'm going to go into the body ministry now. Not everybody has every single gift, all of these gifts that we talked about, the nine or so gifts that we've seen in 1 Corinthians 12. We saw a few more in Romans chapter 12. You know, all these things, all the operations, all the administrations and so forth. One person cannot have them all.
And it is wrong to think that one person can have all of them. Now, anybody can, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit can manifest. It's called the manifestation of the Spirit. It's giving. The Holy Spirit can manifest these gifts as needed at any time through anybody. But some people who have some dominant, you know, I choose to call them dominant giftings. You may have a dominant gifting, even in ministry, what we call ministry. Some people may have a dominant ministry. You know, what I'm doing now in these rooms is teaching. So it may be a ministry of teaching. Well, that doesn't mean that that's the only thing that I can do. Or the Holy Spirit can do through me. You know, I can also be, you know, demonstrate the heart of a shepherd, pastor, and so on. You know, and you don't even have to be a prophet, you know, to operate the gift of prophecy. You know, those two things are different. You can prophesy. Bible says that you may all prophesy, that all may learn. So you see how it all works. But even in ministry, we need these underlining gifts. The teacher will operate the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. That's right. Because sometimes they need to break it down. You know, and I've known that, you know, sometimes for me, you know, I just begin to speak on a scripture and revelation would just come out. Something that I didn't even know before, you know, unknown to many. That may be the word of knowledge that's operating. It's not only when you reveal something in the life of somebody. Paul didn't explain it that way. You know, when God gives you knowledge about something you couldn't know and you speak it, that's the word of knowledge. You know, and so you look at a scripture, you're trying to understand it. It's a difficult scripture. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit gives the revelation while you're speaking. That's a word of knowledge. You know, and teachers must have those giftings sometimes. Otherwise, they can't break down things. You know, and the, you know, pastor must operate, you know, even as a teacher. Otherwise, they can't, you know, teach the people. They must also operate the word of wisdom. Otherwise, they can't counsel. You know, so you see how these things work together, you know, and so forth. And anybody at any time, you know, the Holy Spirit can move upon you with a word of knowledge. You may not have the gift as a dominant gift, but once in a while you may move. Or even a word of wisdom, you know, when you operate, you know, something that you couldn't have known how to counsel somebody. And then it just comes. You know, the Holy Spirit may give it. And so on and so forth. So that's how all these things work. But let's focus for the next few minutes on the body ministry. You know, this is the part that I really want to focus about. I just spent a little time explaining some of these gifts. And, you know, and I didn't cover them all. You know, for instance, I just remembered I didn't even talk about the working of miracles. How's that different from the gift of faith? You know, working of miracles, just like you said, you know, many gifts can come together in doing something. For instance, in raising of the dead, there may be many gifts that come together. You may have the gift of faith working. You may also have the working of miracles working. You know, we've seen many things, you know, in the Bible where there's working of miracles. I mean, we've seen the disciples themselves because of Jesus blessing the little boy's lunch and putting him back in the hands of the disciples. And the disciples were told to set the people in companies and feed them. We saw the working of miracles out of the hands of the disciples. You know, the bread was multiplying. That's a working of miracle. We've seen the, even in the Old Testament before the Holy Spirit came, we saw examples of that. You know, when Elisha would say, "What do you have in the house?" They said, "Well, just a pot of oil." He said, "Well, do this, do this, do this. You know, pour out the oil and so forth." You know, that's a working of miracle. All of a sudden, the word that he spoke, you know, continues to work a miracle. You know, that's a working of miracle. Or Elijah that said to the woman, "The barrel of meal will not waste, the cruse of oil will not fail." You know, he spoke a word. And then all of a sudden, miracles are happening out of that. It's a working of miracle. You know, I've seen where, I mean, we see scriptures, other scriptures, you know, bitter waters, and somebody just put something in it and it turns to you know, the waters are healed. You say, well, that's a working of miracle. You know, an axe head that is iron that would normally sink, you know, a prophet throws a twig into the water, the axe head floats. That's a working of miracle. That's all kinds of weird things. I mean, we see Joshua, you know, speaking to the sun and the moon, a lot of things operating there. Faith, working of miracles, everything working together, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, I've seen where, you know, actually I didn't see, but I read it, you know, in a book, you know, some miracles and stuff like that. You know, somebody that had a skin that was really bad, eaten up by all kinds of weird stuff, you know, and, you know, somebody told them to, you know, just like Elisha, he told Naaman to go wash, you know, in the, that one is in the Bible. This other one I read it in real life. Just told them to put their foot, the leg was eaten up badly. You know, so put the leg under water and just open the tap water and the thing just cleanse the thing and all of a sudden, boom, it comes out clean. And that's a working of miracle. Elisha telling Naaman to go, you know, deep in the River Jordan and his skin coming back clean. That's a working of miracle. You know, and so on and so forth. I mean, you know, but the gift of faith can also work any of these things. You know, like if you have the faith, you know, you can speak the word and God will back it up. As if it was even God that spoke the word. You know, you can say to the man, you know, here's working of miracles, but it's also faith working in action. It's also healing. As many things work together in Acts chapter 3. Where Peter and John, you know, go into the hour of prayer and they saw that man. And Peter said, silver and gold I have not. You know, there's a lot of things that were working there. You know, his faith, you know, to pull up the man. You know, the miracles that came in and so forth to strengthen the legs of the man, even healing. Now, healings, and why did they call it gifts of healings? Because, you know, people can have a gift of healing for certain kinds of diseases, and maybe it doesn't work in other parts, you know, but, you know, can work in some things. You know, and when you put that together with the gift of faith, and you put it together working of miracles, you can do just about anything. So all these things work together, you know, healings are there, miracles are there, faith is there, they can work tremendous things. And, you know, when you start to talk about, when you start to deal with nature like Joshua, well, it's not going to be healing because you're not healing the sun or the moon. You're using your faith and then you are using your the gift of miracles as well. And when these things are operating, people are not thinking about it. It's not like, okay, today I'm going to go use the gift of faith. Tomorrow I'm going to go use the working of. You just do these things. The Holy Spirit just moves you and you do them. And then people, when we look later, I say, oh, you know, that was this and that. You know, I mean, you know, God may give you power over the elements. You may have faith for certain types of things. You have faith to believe, you know, that it will rain or it will not rain. You know, I know that when I was a little kid, I started to practice some of that. I didn't know what it was. But from about age 6, I, you know, somehow figured out that I can ask the rain to stop or the rain to start. You know, but I didn't know what it was. And years later, I found out that, you know, God's showing me some other things about faith in that direction. You know, and somehow when it comes now to rain or that kind of thing, I just have faith to believe for it because it's always been there. Other people may not believe for it, but you have the gift in that area, you know, and so forth. You know, so, but let's talk about the body ministry. I've spent enough time about the gifts. You know, I didn't want to make this only about gifts, but the manifestation of this spirit on all through all of these giftings, how does it work in the body? This is the one I want to focus on more so. That body, looking at the human body, and Paul did a great job between 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. To explain this thing that we have one body, but many members. You know, so let's read the way that he puts it out. You know, and sometimes we think it's one member. No, it's not one member. If just one member has all the nine gifts, then what will be the role for all the others? Then that one person will be self-sufficient. They can do everything. Well, that's not how it works. Even this massive, this brain that is so incredible that we have in our heads that can do everything, control everything, and we don't even realize how the brain is working. And most of us don't even use 0.1% of our power of our brain. The brain by itself can't do anything if it's just the brain. If you take the brain out of the head and put it on the table, it's an ugly looking thing. It can't do anything by itself, but it's so powerful. And it's the same thing with the body. The human body is like that. It's also the same thing with the body of Christ. You know, not one person or one member in the body can do all the things. And if they can, then there will be no need for the body. All you need is one member. Let it just do everything. So this is what Paul is talking about here. Now, so let's read that part. We'll start to read it from verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So he's going to use the human body to explain the body of Christ. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. See, this is, he's speaking this in clear, simple English. Now, if the foot shall then say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now had God set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. The eye is there, the ear is there, the hand is there, the leg is there, the brain is there, the spine is there. They all have their portions. And if all of them were one member, then where is the body? So the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. You know, and so on. And he begins to break it. And this is so powerful. You know. And then he said, well, look, much more so, those members of the body which are even more feeble are necessary. Your little, pinky finger or whatever they call it is necessary. And if you get what they call weak low or one of those things in that thing, it can put you down, even if you think it's such a little thing. all of these things are necessary. And those members of the body which you think to be less honorable, we even bestow more abundant honor on them. Our uncomely parts, we have to cover them up, and so on. So he said God has tempered all these things together, giving more abundantly honor to the one that lacked, so that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. He's no longer talking about the body now, the human body. He's using the human body and interchangeably talking about the body of Christ. So when you understand how the human body works, that's how the body of Christ should also work. So now, after all of that, he said, now, when one member is suffering, all suffer with it. When one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. That's the body of Christ. Now, are ye the body of Christ and members in particular? And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, then after that miracles, gifts of healing, helps, government, diversities of tongues, all these things. These are all gifts, and he's bringing some other new things in here. He's bringing governments, that's administrations. He's bringing helps and so forth in here, operations, helps and so forth, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? The answer is no. Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all, speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No. But, he put it all out there. And one day, and I tell you, there are many things, I don't like to speak about myself a lot, but there are many things about how God speaks to me in bringing messages that I will teach. First, he teaches it to me. And many times, it's a word of knowledge. you know, and I don't claim to have a word of knowledge at all, but it operates when I'm in the teaching zone, you know. So, you know, sometimes I'll just hear a word, just a word, you know, could be from the Spirit of God himself, could be something I read in the scripture, could be something someone said. And the next thing I know, this thing opens up in front of me, and I'm, you know, understanding so many things, you know, and I can't explain it to you, you know. So one day on this subject that I'm reading here in Acts chapter, I mean, this First Corinthians 12, one day the Lord's showing me this thing, and it's like I'm looking, you know, and I call it parables. Because God gives me, he knows I love parables, so he gives me my own parables. And I look at this thing like, wow, you know. And sometimes I'll say, God showed me. And yeah, it's like I'm looking at it, but it's not like I'm looking at it. It just be explaining to me, you know. And then, you know, and it's like, consider someone that's in a, you know, this is how the mystery of the body of Christ works. Consider someone that's in the shop. You know, the Lord, you know, showed me this thing one day in the shower, you know, and then there's schism in the body, you know. You know, the hands say to the feet that look, you're always just standing there. You do nothing. You know, I'm the one that's doing all the things, scrubbing and doing all these things and so forth. Why are you just standing there and you're doing nothing? You know, and so one day the hand refuses to wash the feet. He said, look, I do all the stuff. I grab the water. I, you know, grab the soap. I turn on the faucet. You know, I grab the towel, I do all of these things and so forth. And you're just standing there, you do nothing. You know, today, you're not getting a scrub down. You know, because you're just doing nothing. So feet said, cool, no problem. You know, and so the hands rub everything, scrub everybody, do everything, do the, you know, they not, don't wash the feet, don't towel down the feet, don't do anything. You know, and then, you know, when it's time to get out of the shower, the feet refuse to move. you know, that's exactly right. You know, so, you know, feet refuse to move. See, because each person or each part of the body has their role. The hand can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And because you're always standing there doing nothing when we're in the shower, you're not getting a scrub down today. Fine. When everybody, when you're done with everything, feet refuses to leave the shower. You know, so it's a funny thing, but it's the truth. That's how it works. You cannot say, you know, you are the only one, you know, and some ministers, they forget this. They're so full of themselves sometimes that they think that they are the only thing, you know, but no, that's not how it works. Everybody in the body of Christ has a function to play. That's why on this platform, we encourage people, play your part. Because you have a part to play. I may come in like this and give this lesson. And then afterwards, I fold up and say, now it's your turn to share. Because we must all participate. We must all pitch in so that we may all learn. Everybody has something. And look, we can't all be evangelists. We can't all be pastors. We can't all be prophets. We can't all be apostles and all these things. You know, whatever it is that God calls you is what it is. And you can't say, you know, to the others that, look, why are you not an evangelist? Most people that have the heart of winning souls, they do that all the time. They look at others and say, why are you not doing this? Well, don't worry about why they are not doing it. That's not your concern. You know, it's you that God called. You do your part. They may be doing their part that you know nothing about. I mean, there are intercessors that people know nothing about because they're not out in the open. But I guarantee you, their ministry is the most powerful. And they are always praying. I mean, they're not out with the mic and nobody knows what they are doing. But without them, nothing is going anywhere. You know, they are praying for the ministry. They are praying for the pastor. They are praying for the teacher. They are praying for those that are working miracles. They are praying for those who are out in the field, the missions, the missionaries, and those who are even going out on the street doing evangelism. And so they are praying. That may be their calling. You say, well, but, you know, Jesus said, you know, we all should go out. And, you know, what Jesus is saying is what he's saying. You know, but what he says, that's a general thing. You know, but he may have a specific role for one person. There are many general things in the Bible, you know, but, you know, it's kind of like Paul says, you may all prophesy, you know, but do all prophesy? You know, we don't all prophesy. So, you know, but we may all, you know, and wish you all, everywhere we go, we should have an opportunity to, you know, be a witness for Christ, you know, but will everybody be really called to do the work of an evangelist? No. You know, but we should when we get a chance. Will we be soul winners only that we get a reward? Absolutely not. Some people think that sometimes too. If you do your part well, that's why the story of the talents, the one that got the 5 talents, he went and did whatever it was that he was supposed to do. He did it well. He got the blessing. The one that got the 2 talents, because he said he distributed the talents to them according to their several ability. And, you know, the one that got the 2 talents went and did whatever it was that those 2 talents were for, did it well. He got exactly the same benediction as the one that did the 5. So, it was only the one that said, well, why am I not, you know, why am I just over here? Give me just 1 talent, why you give the other 1 5? You know, well, I'm not going to do any such thing. You know, look at that one. You know, they're out on the stage, they're doing this one, and I'm here in the corner. Do you know, you give me this little thing? No, I'm not going to do it. Well, so he didn't do it. And you know what happened to him? He lost everything. You know, and said, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Let there be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, and one time, you know, Jesus was talking to Peter. You know, after Peter denied the Lord 3 times, Jesus would give him 3 times to come clean. People always wonder why Jesus did that. Well, that was the reason. The Lord told me 1 time. So he says to Peter, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, well, I love you. Well, he said, okay, cool. Feed my lambs. You know, a little time goes by again. Say, Simon, you know, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Say, cool. I love you, Lord. He said, well, feed my sheep. So now he has tested. He denied the Lord 3 times. So the Lord is going to give him an opportunity to confess him 3 times. So he comes again, finally. Simon, son of Jonas. And why is Jesus asking the same question 3 times? Right? Because Peter was asked the same question 3 times and he denied. So now Jesus gives him a chance to redeem himself 3 times. You love me? Yes. Okay, fine. A little time passes, just about the same amount of time that passed when Peter denied the Lord. And it's something the Lord revealed to me. And the Lord comes again and says to him, Peter, Simon, you love me? He said, yes. Okay, now. He waits a little more time. Another time, just about the third, just like the 3rd time. Comes to him again. So now this time, Peter is really grieved. But the Lord has done his part. He's giving Peter a chance. And Peter is clean. Because he has confessed the Lord 3 times. Like denied the Lord. You know. And then, you know, but then, you know, the Lord is telling Peter some things. Feed my lambs, do this and do that and do so. And so Peter finally says, look. He looks over here. He sees John. He says, well, what about John? What is he going to do? You know, you can read that story in John 21. And Jesus says to him, what is that? What's that of your concern? None of your concern. What I want John to do. You focus on what I want you to do. This is the problem with all of us. God called you to do something. You worried about the others. You may be a prayer warrior. And other people don't come to the prayer meetings like you. And then in your heart, you're thinking, why is it that these people don't pray? And so, that's none of your concern. You focus on what the Lord wants you to do. Praise God. You may be the one that's out going out on the outreach every day, and others are not doing it. Don't worry about the others. Jesus told Peter, don't worry about John. It's none of your concern. You focus on what I tell you to do. But many of the times, we are worried about the other person. We're concerned about the other person. Why am I the only one doing this? Why are the others not doing it? That's none of your concern. You do what it is that the Lord wants you to do. That's how the body functions. The hand cannot say, why am I the only one scrubbing the body? Why is the feet not doing anything? Well, that's none of your concern. You do your part. The feet will do its part. The feet will do its part. The feet cannot also say, why is it that when it comes time to go somewhere, I'm the only one doing all the work? The rest of you are not doing anything. You can't say that. Everybody's doing something. The eyes are looking to see where you're going. The feet is walking. Every part of the body is doing something. The arms are swinging and so on and so forth. You know, so don't worry about what the other part in the body is doing or not doing. You do your part. That's what's called a full body ministry. You look at all these giftings in the body of Christ. You figure out which one the Lord is, you know, operating, manifesting, and administering through you. And then you do it faithfully. Never mind the other, but you pray for the other. Praise God. He has a care of each of the body for all parts of the body, right? If your hand is hurting, the leg cannot say, well, it's only the hand that's hurting, so I don't care about it. Well, if you don't care about it, that thing can put the whole body down. You care about it. You know, you nurture it, you care, you do this, you do that. But it's none of your concern to try to micromanage them or why they are not doing this part and why they are not doing that. That's not your concern. If you are the hand, do the duty of the hand. If you are the eyes, do the duty of the eyes. You can't say to the nose, you know, why are you all just looking like that? Why am I the only one always looking around? You just nose are just there. You know, like, no. The nose has its own role. The hands, ears, everything have their role. Applying that to spiritual things, it's very simple what we're saying. There are giftings that God has put in the body of Christ. Find yours. Understand your role and stay in your lane. Praise the Lord. Stay in your lane. You know, there's no need for jostling, for position, and so forth. That's the other thing that people are doing, especially people that think that they have to be on stage. Some people think that, well, the only way to get recognition, like if you're part of a ministry, like a church group or whatever, the only way to get recognition is you got to be on stage. You have to have the mic. You know, when the thing is being broadcast, you know, all around the world, people can see you, you know, everybody and so on. You know, and people think that that's the only way for you to get recognition. Well, that's recognition of man. You know, that's recognition of man. That's not the things that are highly esteemed among men. Jesus said in Luke 16 and 15, these things are an abomination to God. The accolade, well, I'm the one that's on stage. I'm the one that people are seeing. I'm pastor such and such. Everybody knows me. Well, all of that stuff, that's an abomination to Jesus. You can read it in Luke chapter 16. Jesus said it point blank. He said, the things that are highly esteemed among men, these things are an abomination in the sight of God. You know, he didn't even say these things don't please God. Abomination means it's repulsive. God hates it. The things that we, you know, glory over, the titles and the accolades and so forth. You know, that's Luke 16 and 15 for you. But Philip and Stephen, they knew, and I've taught this before, they knew that, look, we can be relegated to doing serving tables. You know, that's the role that they were given, and they obliged. The apostle said, do this role. They obliged. But that doesn't prevent them from going out in the marketplace and working miracles. You may not get a microphone to come on stage, but the world is your stage. You can still go out and do whatever. In the book of Acts chapter 6 verse 8, we're told that, you know, Stephen went out and did miracles among the people. Well, his day job, I don't know which one was his day job. Maybe his day job was to serve tables and serve the widows. But when he finished doing that, and he did it faithfully, you know, because the Bible said they were men, you know, full of faith and so forth, and people they could trust. And, you know, and so they did that job. Well, when he finished doing that, he went out and did some other stuff. Praise the Lord. You know, so don't think that unless you are a certain way, unless you are on stage, you know, and so forth. But I counseled one young man one day that said, well, you know, pastor, I want to do more in the ministry, you know, and so forth. You know, I want to be more like this. I want to be more like that. I said, yeah, really? I said, well, you're already doing a lot. He said, no, I want to do this. I want to do that. I began to tell him some things. At the end of it, when I finished, he was so sober. I said, wow, you know, I don't really have to aspire to do that. You should do the thing that I'm doing. Praise the Lord, you know, so, you know, Joel's army, in the book of Joel, he talks about this one. He said, look, these army, they are cut to precision. They know what they are doing. They will not break their ranks. They will not jostle against each other.
they know themselves. You know, they stay in their lane. You got to run your own race tactfully and stay in your lane. Hallelujah. And if you don't know how to stay in your lane, you're going to muddle up everything and you might, you know, be disqualified even if you thought you finished running the race. So you have got to stay in your lane. You know, and no jostling for position. The hand must remain the hand. The feet must remain the feet. You know, and the eyes must remain the eyes. You know, don't try to be something else that you are not. Stay in your lane and no jostling. Praise God. So that is the lesson for today. We need to stay in our lane and do everything, you know, that we need to do that God calls us to. Let's read a little portion of this Joel, I mean, description in Joel chapter 2. Just a small portion. You know, he said, they shall run like mighty men. That's Joel chapter 2 verse 7. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone in his ways. In other words, they stay in their own lane. And they shall not break their ranks. Well, there's actually ranking in the kingdom of God, but only the Holy Spirit does the ranking. Say, no man taketh this honor unto himself. You know, so this army, they are cut to precision. They don't break their ranks. There's no jostling for position. They stay in their own lane. The hand is doing the thing. The feet is doing his thing. The eye is doing his thing. The head is doing his thing. They stay in their lane. Nobody jostling for position. That is so important. Praise the Lord. And that's more important when you are in a local small assembly. You know, when you are on a platform such as this, you know, some of it works, but it's better even when you are in a local assembly. You have to function together properly. Each part supporting the other part. Not trying to outdo, outshine, steal the thunder, and all of these things. No, just function together. Praise the Lord. In the unity of the faith, we come into the knowledge of the Son of Man unto a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And even the so-called ministerial offices, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, they must all function together, you know. So, and they function together in what I call the manufacturing plant. They do it properly, and they will turn out sons of God at the end. They themselves being part of it. Because the husbandman is first partaker of the fruits. You know, but they must walk together. One person cannot be overlord to the others or think that they are the only one that has the answer or they are the smartest person in the room or I'm the best person and you are doing nothing. All of that is childish, is walk of the flesh. We need to get it out of there. Function together. He said, in honor, preferring one another. And that's a beautiful lesson that we are going to close with today. You know, what does that mean? You know, when he says in honor, preferring one another. And when he talks about let nothing be done through strife or vainglory and so forth. Romans chapter 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another. This is part of the body ministry. It was, you know, that Romans 12 is where he was talking this thing. We read it. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You can even give up, you know, to somebody else. See, in honor preferring. I mean, I've seen people in this room do that. They want to speak, somebody else wants to speak. They say, okay, you go first. You know, they, you know, prefer the other person and say, hey, you know, there's something that, hey, you do this, you know, I, you know,
You take the lower room, let them take the higher room. So what? Praise the Lord, you know. So, but let nothing, you know, be done through strife or vainglory. You know, strife is a killer. You know, it doesn't give glory to God. All it does is, it just tears down the body of Christ. That's all it does. You know, you can read in Philippians chapter 2. You know, we read in verse 3. It said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. That's the same, preferring one to another. You know, say, yeah, fine, you do it. You know, you give them honor. You take the back seat. So what? Jesus gets the glory. Jesus said all the time, I seek not the honor of men. I seek the honor of God. Now, if you do these things, here is the word of the Lord to you. If you do everything right, this is what the Lord promised us. In the book of John, you know, chapter 12, you know, and verse 26, this is what the Lord promised to the person, you know, that is doing it right. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Now, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, the honor that comes from God is what you need, not the honor of men. When we receive honor from men, Jesus says, you have your reward. When you do anything to be seen of men, Jesus says, you have your reward. And when you come out, you know, to prophesy just to be seen, you have your reward. When you come out to teach, like I'm doing here, if I'm doing it just to be seen, that man's a wonderful teacher. Well, then I have my reward. You know, whatever we do to be seen, you come out, even when we give testimony, if it is just to be seen that our testimony, that we are powerful people, we can pray and things get done. We know how to witness and win souls. You know, I know how to preach. You know, I know that if your testimony is driven by so somebody can know that you did these things, then you have your reward. You can't have the reward two times. You either have the reward of men or you have the reward of God. That's why I personally, I don't like the reward of men because I want the reward of God. And if somebody should give me a reward, I immediately turn back and give it back to the Lord so I can get something from the Lord. You know, because once you get the praise and accolade and all these things from men and you sit down, you don't give it back to the Lord, then you already have your reward. So let's look for the honor from God. That's what's important. And if we learn how to function as a body, nobody is going to care about honor. What you will look for is the honor of the entire body, not honor of one part or the other. The entire body is honored. All the members rejoice with it. Now that's our lesson today. You know, it's a diverse lesson and I went into so many things, but the summary of it all is this. There are diversities of gifts in the body of Christ that the Holy Spirit gives. And we must use those gifts to function together. We must recognize that we are one body. And, you know, I explained a little bit about how some of these gifts work just so to help us identify if these giftings are in our lives. But whatever it is, you've got a part to play. Don't bury your gift or your talent because you think it's not as important as some other gift. That was the problem with the man that buried his talent. So you must use it or you lose it. So use it or lose it. If you don't use it right for the edifying of the body of Christ, then we will lose it. So 1 Corinthians 14:12 was a scripture we gave yesterday for a lesson, memory verse, and it's still relevant for today's lesson. Inasmuch as we are zealous of spiritual gifts, and it's a good thing to be zealous of spiritual gifts. Paul said, desire spiritual gifts. you know what? Well, if you're zealous of having this gift, you want to raise the dead, you want to prophesy, you want to speak in tongues, you want to do all these things, heal the sick, you know, what should be the driving force? When, especially when you are in the body of Christ and you are in the body ministry, you know, if you want to prophesy in the body ministry, what's your reason? If you want to reveal a word, what's your reason? Well, so let all things be done decently, first of all, and do all to the edifying of the body of Christ and for God to get the glory. So I will leave it there for today. And I know there's going to be a discussion on this, and I will invite you to share your thoughts in a few minutes after I pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for our lesson today, looking into the body ministry, the giftings, the administrations, the operations, the diversities of gifts, and how all these gifts function, and the role that each member must play in the body, the role that the body together must play. We thank you, Lord, for all these things. We pray, Lord, that functioning together, we can walk as a well-oiled machinery. Everyone in their lane, nobody breaking their ranks, everyone marching straight on his ways, the Lord helping each function, each part of the body to function correctly, and the body walking together to the glory of God, to the glory of the Christ, who is the head of the body. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.